we're living in a, we used to be living in a paganistic United States, but now we're living in a paganistic Georgia, because over 63% of the people in Georgia are unchurched people. When we think about that, we realize that our mission field is right around our own doors. And tonight, as we look at this passage of Scripture, there are several things we want to see from that. So would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word and remain standing for prayer. Daniel 2, starting in verse 24. Daniel 2, verse 24. And you know what's happened and gone on in the book of Daniel. There are prophecies talking about what's going to take place, even with the king and the ruler of that time. But it also speaks deeper of that. It also speaks of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as that stone that is talked about there, that great stone, the one who is going to bring everything into realization. And let me tell you something. Even in the time of Jesus, as he come, he talked about this, that there was a stone of stumbling. And he was that stone of stumbling. But let me tell you something. Those who come to know him and know the reality of him, he is a stepping stone to find the reality of Almighty God. Amen? And we can know that. Look in verse 24 with me. It says, therefore Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto them, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. He had had a dream. And he did not and could not understand the interpretation. His astrologers, all those magicians, all those soothsayers, they could not either. But says, then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus unto him, I have found a man in the captivity of Judah, of the captivity of Judah, that will make known unto the king the interpretation. And the king answered and said unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, and art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers and magicians and soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days, thy dream and the vision of thy head upon thy bed. And he says, but there is a God in heaven. Look in verse 29. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets makes known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known in the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thine heart. Let's pray together. Father, once again we bow in thy presence to give thee thanks for today, for the privilege of life, for the blessings, Lord, that you have so freely and openly bestowed upon us collectively and as well as individually. And Lord, we are blessed beyond measure because of your goodness and grace and mercy that you extend to us. And Lord, we realize that in the process of all this, we are to be a blessing to others. We are to relate the blessings of God to others. And God, I would pray that you would empower us and you would help us to recognize and understand the calling in our lives as your people, as heirs of God and joint heirs. And we pray, Lord, tonight that you would just take us and use us for your glory. We pray, Father, for guidance and direction, for wisdom and understanding. And I pray, Lord, even now that you'll take the messenger and the message, Lord, and you will make us keenly aware of your will and purpose for our life. Help us to recognize and understand that your grace is sufficient in every circumstance of life. And Father, we pray for those that are hurting, those that are going through difficult and trying times, those that's lost loved ones. Lord, those that are suffering because of problems and illness and sickness in their life. God, there are so many in tonight, in the men's prayer room. We've listed over 16 people there, Lord. And you know each one and you know each problem. And God, we ask you to minister and to deal with each one as you see fit. Have your will accomplished and help us, oh Lord, as your people to help others and to minister them and to comfort others, encourage others in the walk of life that they may be all that you'd have them to be for your glory. We pray and ask it in Jesus' strong and powerful and saving name and for his glory alone. Amen. as we look at the passage and as we think about the message and the title of the message tonight is to awake the town and tell the people. What do we need to tell them? What do we need to wake them and tell them? First of all, we need to awake the town and tell the people that there is a God in heaven. That is the message that Daniel related to the king of that day, that there is a God in heaven. We need to understand and recognize, even though the circumstances and things going on like they are, that let me tell you something, there is still a God in heaven. The messenger to Nebuchadnezzar, there's a God in heaven who is the creator, who is the designer, who is the architect of the universe, and he's the one who put it all together. There is a God in heaven. Wake the town and tell the people. There's a God in heaven who hates sin. Throughout the scripture, you see this time and time again, where God in his infinite wisdom and mercy deals with the aspect and the problem of sin. Let me tell you something. God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. And we have a message to relate to that. But we need to understand, because of this and all the circumstances of that, that God still needs to, the people still need to know that we need to wake the town and the people to tell the people that there is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven who is the author and the master and has the master plan for salvation. There is a God in heaven who comforts the sick, who binds up the brokenhearted. He cares and he wants to relieve us. And many times we do not understand. The world certainly does not understand that. But there's a God in heaven who cares. 2 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares on him, for he careth for you. The term that is used there is he is more concerned about you than you are about yourself. And therefore we need to relate to the world that there is a God in heaven. We need to wake the town and tell the people there is a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven who hears and who answers prayers. There's a God in heaven who is the beginning of time and also the end of eternity. So we need to awake the town and tell the people that there is a God in heaven. Amen? But there's something else we need to do. We need to awake the town and tell the people that God is not just confined to the present power of heaven. And then many people that says that God is dead. But let me tell you something. He's not dead. He is, the Bible says, he is from everlasting to everlasting. For he, God, is good and he is still running the universe. Whether we like it or not, whether the president likes it or not, he's not in control, but God is in control. And we can rest assured that the things and the situations in life, that God is not asleep, and he knows what's going on around us, and he also knows what's going on tomorrow, going to happen tomorrow, if we have a tomorrow, because he is the God of the past, he's the God of the present, he's the God of the future. He is not dead. God is still writing and making history. We take that word history, H-I-S-T-O-R-Y. It is his story that is being recorded. We have the recorded part of God's history or his story with the Bible. We look at it, and God is still moving in the history of the world today, and we need to wake up and realize that. Makes no difference how difficult and how trying the times may get, and I guarantee you, according to what, as we look at the scripture, and as Brother Ibe pointed out this morning, there may be getting more and more difficult, and they may get more and more difficult as we live and go along. We need to face the facts and the reality, but he is still in control. For he is all and in all things, everywhere, every age, every generation. So we need to wake the town and tell the people that God is not dead, but he liveth forever and forever. Amen. You know, these people that come out with this philosophy that God is dead, you know, if God was dead and we're his children, somebody need to let us know. Don't you think that? Who was his undertaker? Who was the undertaker? They didn't notify next of kin, but let me tell you something. The one who created it all, and here we have these small pea-brain minds that says that God is dead. But let me tell you from the authority of God's word that he is and he was and he shall be from now on and forevermore. But let me tell you something there. Those, they must meet him at the judgment, because God is not dead, for he has made possible for us to know the reality of him. As we study his word, as we look at the creation around about us, we see God moving in the circumstances of life. You know, those Russian astronauts, when they went up and they said, well, we don't see God. Where is God? We don't see him. But the thing about it was, you got to look for God to see God. You got to recognize who he is and how you must look for him. And that's why we need to recognize and understand that as people of God, we must awake the town and tell the people that God is not dead. Jesus said for us that he's going to prepare a place for us. I believe that. I believe that he's gone to prepare a place. He said in the beginning there, says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, he said, I will come back and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We need to recognize and understand that he has made provision for those that care, that love him, those that recognize who he is, that he is not dead. He is a God of everything and every situation. Therefore, we can awake the town and tell the people that God is not dead. But there's something else too. We need to awake the town and tell the people to read the handwriting of the Almighty God on the wall. If you turn to Daniel 5, 23 and following, you see that this was... one of those events where the individual there, let's just turn over there. We're right here at it. Chapter 5. You remember the great party that he had? Belshazzar, he made a party. And what he done, he got so wrapped up in this party. And you know, there's a lot of people today, that's their mentality. That's all they talk about. That's all they are involved in is a party. You hear them talking, that's all they want is a party. I see some of these bumper stickers, and you know, I saw one here a while back. It says, I'm a party animal. A party animal. What does that mean? And then I saw another that says, party till you puke. That's a good philosophy, isn't it? But party, they were in a party, involved in party. They even went to the king's house and took those instruments that were used in the worship service that he took out of the temple at Jerusalem, and they used them to drink their drink out of. And in the process of this, there came out of the stillness of what was going on this handwriting that wrote on the wall. Handwriting on the wall. Let me tell you something, folks. America needs to wake up and look, because there's handwriting on the wall about the doom and the gloom and the judgment of God that's coming. When I say the doom and the gloom, is because America is not responding to God, who has blessed them with so many blessings. What is it? Something like 30,000 babies we're offering on the altar of sacrifice, being dead in the womb every month. And we call ourselves Christian nation. We see things that's going on. We need to wake the town and tell the people to look at the handwriting on the wall. See, prophecy today could be the future tomorrow. As we relate what transpired here, Nebuchadnezzar always on a mighty expedition, and here Belshazzar was in control, I guess you'd say, or assumed the reign, and he had that wild party. At the time of the party, the Medo-Persians, at the very time of the party, they were under command of Cyrus, and they had diverted the Euphrates River, which came in a channel under the town, and they diverted that, and they closed it off, and guess what? All the time, and that handwriting on the wall, and then Daniel went and gave the interpretation of that, because see, what it says is, thou art weighed in the balances of God, and thou art found lacking. Found lacking. So we need to wake the town and tell the people that there's handwriting on the wall. See, look at the homes in America today. We need to look at the handwriting. Over 50% of them before 7 years is out end in divorce. That's not just in the world. I'm talking about in the church as well. We have allowed the world to move into the church. You can't tell the world from the church and the church from the world. And did you know over 79% of our parents is one-parent families? Look at our schools. No open prayer anywhere. The Gideons can no longer put Bibles in our schools. It breaks my heart to recognize that we have come so far. And I can remember when we were in school that every morning over the loudspeaker there was part of the Word of God read. And then there was prayer that was offered for provision and protection for that day. And everyone took place or took part in that as we looked at that. But what's happened today? What is wrong today? We need to wake the town and tell the people the handwriting on the wall of Almighty God. Look at our streets. They're filled with drugs and addicts. They're filled with everything else. Marches who are proud that they're against the God's design about their homosexuality, blaming God. Said, God created me like that. I have nothing to do with it. Well, you can tell a society that, but you can't tell God that and make him believe it. We need to recognize, folks, that we're in a mess. In a mess. When we think about all the things that's going on, but not only in our schools and on our streets, but what about our churches? What about our churches? You know, we talk about the AIDS situation and homosexuality and whatever you want to call the other. Did you know that God, in his infinite wisdom, made a plan that there would to heal AIDS? It could be healed. It is one woman and one man in a monogamous relationship for life. God's design, that's it. But see, our society can't talk about that. But you know what? What about the churches? What about the churches? We no longer stand on issues. Looking at circumstance from the viewpoint of what the church should look at it. I was appalled the other day at the day of prayer. The day of prayer for this area. There were just very few that were there. Praying for our nation, our country, our leaders. But you know what? The thing about it is we need to recognize that we need to wake the town and tell the people that there's handwriting of Almighty God on the wall today. The Bible tells us in Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and the nations that forget God. What about America? We need to wake the town and tell the people just to look at the handwriting on the wall. The handwriting on the wall. God is trying to open the church's eyes. He's trying to open America's eyes. And we see the things that's going on around us. And I believe God is saying, I love you, but listen to me. Listen to me. The fourth thing is we need to awake the town and tell the people that the enemy is here. Not was here, and he's gone, but he's here now. Not some foreign power like the Medo-Persians in his day, but it could be. Some think of the international communism stemming from Russia and China. That will be our downfall and our destruction. It could be. But the enemy, the real enemy is here. And he is that old serpent, Satan himself, the destroyer, the deceiver. His message is deception. Turn to John just a moment, chapter 8. Jesus had something to say about that. The Gospel of John chapter 8. He called him exactly what he was. He told those of his day that they were the father of the devil. Jesus didn't pull any punches. His word still does not pull any punches because it's truth. When we think about what he said there, in the process of calling a spade a spade, we need to recognize and understand that he was talking about truth and the reality of truth. The Satan was a liar and a deceiver. But look at his message in John 10:10. What did he say there? He said that the whole scope of Satan, he said in the first part of verse 10, he says, the thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. In other words, he's after your body, soul, and spirit. All that you are, he wants to destroy. He wants to make it null and void because he's there to do exactly that, to totally destroy physically, mentally, spiritually. We need to wake the town and tell the people that the enemy is here and he's here to destroy life, body, and soul. Folks, we need to wake up because of the enemy and the attack of the enemy in our world, in our churches today, and we need to recognize and understand that he is very actively involved in church. Did you know that? If you see the first confrontation of Jesus with Satan, it was in the church, in the worship service. And let me tell you something, Satan goes to church as well. We need to wake the town and tell the people that the enemy is here. The fifth thing is we need to wake the town and tell the people that God's Spirit as he said in Genesis 6:3, will not always strive with man. Now you think about that for just a moment. God's Spirit will not always strive with man. We see God's Spirit strove or stayed or worked with man before the flood. And then during the flood for 120 years and through Noah in the building of the ark, God's Spirit was there. Now God strove nearly 2,000 years. Just as God shut the door on the ark and of the ark, He's going to one day close the door of salvation by grace through faith. And will you be in or will you be out? That's the question. He's going to close it. The Word tells us He is. He's going to close it. Will you be in or will you be out? Matthew 25:10 says, and they that were ready went in with Him into the marriage supper of the Lamb, and the door was shut, closed. Matthew 24:44 says, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man will come. Are you ready? Are you going to be in? Are you going to be out? There's definitely coming a time when God will say, it is enough. It is enough. It is enough. A time when He will get sick of us and wash His hands of us. A time He'll not tolerate sin and the man of sin any longer. He's saying it will be enough. It is written in the book, listen and heed, Genesis 6:3, My Spirit will not always strive with man. Luke 12:14-24 says, none of those that were bidden shall taste of My supper. Hosea 4:17 says, Ephraim is joined to his idols, let him alone. And let me say something, God is saying that. I've given up on him. And when God gives up, let me tell you something, folks, He was in a mess. And so will others be. Those that will not come to Him, those that will not trust Him. Yes, one day God is going to say, and His Spirit's not going to always strive with man. But there's a sixth thing as well. Awake the town and tell the people that the end of time is coming because the Word says it. The Word says it. John in Revelation said, and a mighty angel came down from heaven, and I think it was the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and He was holding a book in His left hand. His right foot on the Mediterranean, or in the Mediterranean Sea, His left foot on the land of Israel, and His left, the right hand raised up to God Almighty, and He was saying, time shall be no more. Eternity now is moved in, the aspect of it. What is He saying? What is He doing there? We see the close of time as we knew it. Yes, the end of time, my friend, is coming. Why? Why? Well, it'll fulfill all the prophecy of the Word of God. That's one reason. Another reason, because God Himself said that. Another reason we need to recognize is because Jesus Himself preached it Himself. And when we think about all the things that's going on and taking place in our world today, let me tell you something, folks. We need to get involved in looking at what's going on. I believe as a church, we need to understand more and more detail of what's going on in our world, not just in America, but in our world, and how all those events and the things are moving to a pivotal point. And that pivotal point, I believe, is the Lord Jesus Christ coming back to take us home to glory. Yes, He's coming back. You know what? It could be today. Yes, it's fulfilled prophecy. It says it. The signs of the time says it. The return of the Jews to their natural land says it. The aid that we see, it's going on now to Russia, those Russian Jews, to bring them back to their homeland. Matthew 24:44 says, therefore, be ye ready, for in such an hour you know not when the Lord will come. So be ready. Be ready. But there's something else too. The seventh and final thing. We need to awake the town and tell the people there are many ways to go to hell, but there's only one way to get to heaven. I had a friend, first church I pastored at Sale City, and if you don't know where Sale City is, it's halfway between Cotton and Lester. But anyhow, I had a friend there, and I got him to drive the bus for me. I had to perform my relief, and he was a preacher over at another church right joined to us. And he had a track made up, and in that track, it had on the front of it, what must I do to go to hell? and you opened that track up and there was nothing on none of the pages. Nothing on none of the pages, not even on the back, just the front. What must I do to go to hell? And you know, that's exactly right. You don't have to do a thing in the world to go to hell. But you have got to accept Jesus Christ to go to heaven. He is the only way. John 14:6, there's no way that you can be saved other than through Jesus Christ. There's no way that you can be cleansed other than through Jesus Christ. There's no way that you can be empowered to live other than through Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation given in any other, for there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There's the must of salvation. We need to recognize and understand that. We need to see that in the process of what Jesus was saying in John 10:10, he says, the thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. But he says, I have come that you might have life, real life, living, the exuberance of life itself, not just existence, but real living. See, a person never understands, they never know what life is all about until they come to know Jesus Christ, because he's the only one that can give life. You can't find it anywhere else. You can't find it in the bottle. You can't find it in a pill. Only way you can find it is in Jesus Christ. God made it possible for us to recognize, understand, and to know him. Tonight, I do not know your heart, but we need to wake the town and tell the people. Tell the people some certain things. You may need to come tonight in a public profession of Jesus Christ. You may need to come for cleansing of sin. The thing about it is we need to recognize that Jesus is sufficient in every circumstance of life. The question is your name, as it says in Revelation 20:12, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? That's the question. That's the question. Tonight, Brother Orville asked me to close with a hymn, and we've had so many deaths and so much sickness, and those that have stepped out into eternity. Brother Julian this evening, as he went on to be with the Lord, we think about that great. As the song says, we can only imagine. So I don't even think we can imagine what's there. The scripture says, "I have not seen, neither ear heard, nor have entered the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him, those that are looking for Him." Listen to this song. Oh, what a time will be when we see loved ones there, those who have gone before, eternal joys to share. And oh, what a song when the blood washed throng are singing a song the angels cannot sing. Oh, what a moment when we see Jesus, when we stand face to face in His embrace and thank Him for us. Will then be made known. What joy shall fill our raptured soul? that day. Because see, we're going to see Him face to face. And thank Him for amazing grace. Oh, what a moment when we see Him. Oh, what a moment when we see Him. Who trusted Jesus Christ. And if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Him, we want to give you the opportunity to do that as we think about salvation and what it means to understand the Lord's work in our hearts and our lives and what He wants to do in our hearts and lives. We have a message, and that message is to wake the town and tell the people, tell them how much He loves them, how much He cared for them. God, help us to do that. Amen. I don't know your heart. We're going to stand here in front. We're just going to have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. But if you're here tonight, would you stand with me?